We're back to the second session in the morning, and this is a session on effective gospel preaching. Effective gospel preaching and shepherding on college campuses. Yesterday, the brothers gave us a wonderful beginning on this line, sharing with us that the college campuses are the divine invention of the triune God. Amen. To gather the top young people for His gospel, for His eternal purpose. And then the bullseye among all the college students are the freshmen. Amen. And the best people to reach the freshmen are who? Are who? Freshmen. Not the serving ones, especially not the gray hair serving ones. Praise the Lord for the freshmen. And now, there's a brother John has this wonderful statement I really like. He said, it's most glorious to bring people to Christ. Can you say amen?
Amen.
It's most glorious to bring people to Christ. I would also say that it is most rewarding to bring people to Christ. Why are there so many serving ones here? Year after year, they are there laboring on campus. Why are they doing this rather than going out to make more money? Why? Because it's most glorious to bring people to Christ. How many of you, let me just ask a show of hands, how many of you have, either by yourself or with others, have seen the person before your eyes? You've seen them. How many of you have? Right? So what kind of feeling did you have at that time? Very down? You rejoice. You're so happy. That's the meaning of my human life. And brother in Austin would say, it's the destiny. That's our destiny. We're touching our destiny. Well, I want to add this morning as we're talking about prayer. So my second statement following Brother John's statement is this. To bring people to Christ, we must bring people to Christ first in our prayer. Right? To bring people to Christ, we must first bring people to Christ in our prayer. And it's very simple. Number one, my brother Ken this morning share with me a statement I really like. That is, without prayer, nothing happens. Nothing happens without prayer. Brothers and sisters, if you can remember this, nothing happens without prayer. We used to hear saints saying, no one can be saved unless someone has prayed. I used to wonder. Well, it is. You may pray for them as a group, right? Lord, how about right state? You pray for them as a group. Or you pray for them individually. But the prayer, the effective gospel preaching, must begin with prayer. Amen. I'm going to be careful. Okay. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, time is so short. Anyhow, you know, there are reasons for prayer. I'll talk about three reasons quickly first, and then we'll get to the other. Number one, prayer stops our natural activity, our natural strength. How many of you think you are a born gospel preacher? I'm just born in this way. Huh? Not too many, right? But somehow hidden in our hearts. How many did you get saved last semester? Four. We got four. I got only three. Right? So, prayer stop all these kinds of things. To preach the gospel, we must not preach the gospel by our natural spirit. And then the other thing is, I guarantee you, every time when you pray, before you pray, you have no burden. No burden. Right? With Floyd was talking about, the brother was having no burden for him because he's got long hair. The other one is clean cut. I have. We have no burden for people that look different from us. But when you pray, guarantee you, there will be a burden growing. And that burden is a divine burden. That's a burden from the Lord. Right? It's not from me. I get infused by the triune God. So we can have a burden to preach the gospel. Are you a shy person? If you pray, it doesn't matter whether you are a shy person or you are a bold person. You will be a person flowing out the triumph. There's no choice. It must be that way. Okay. So remember this, without prayer, nothing happens. Okay, now let's come to the outline. Oh, I forgot to give you one more reason. Did I say three? That is, gospel, preaching the gospel, is a spiritual warfare. You are transferring, you are bringing a person out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. To fight. So we must pray. And not only that, to pray, but also to pray together, twos or three, in the principle of the body, in our fighting prayer, to bind and to loose. Later on, I'll tell you a little story about our experience at the Orange Coast, for the Bill, very familiar with that, or Orange Coast College. Anyhow, we'll talk about how that the prayer cleared the air of the whole campus. Amen. Okay. Let's read the under the effective gospel preaching, the subject for today. Interceding in twos or threes in prayer. Amen. And scriptural reading, since we don't have time, you can read it later. Talking about in Matthew chapter 18, right? When two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in their midst. And if two of you agree in harmony, whatever you ask, the Father will do for you. So, let's read Roman numeral 1. To the Lord with binding and releasing prayers. Before you actually bring them to the Lord, you must bring them to the Lord with releasing and binding prayer. And A says, to intercede is to approach God in a personal and confiding manner. To intervene interfere before God in others' affairs for their benefit. And the verse there is 1 Timothy 2:1. Talk about, I exhort therefore, first of all, petitions, prayer, intercessions, thanksgiving be made on behalf of all men. First of all, right? Intercession. Petition, prayers, intercession, thanksgiving be made on behalf of all men. The very first thing is to pray. And I'd like to talk about these two words, intervene and interfere, before God in others' affairs for their benefit. Oftentimes, we are in our corporate prayer, either two or three, in our corporate prayer, we need to learn how to say this. Lord, we bind or we loose. Lord, we agree, and Lord, we don't agree. When the things arise, when you can't take a very seeking person, all of a sudden, the storm arises. Everything turned upside down. What happened? Enemy is doing his work. So what do we pray? We need to pray a fighting prayer. Say, Lord, we do not agree that these things would happen. Right? And you know what happened? When you pray in this way, the Lord agree with you. The Lord stand with you. And as a consequence, as a result, you interfere with others. I remember in Austin one time, we were praying for a new one, a very positive new one. And he wanted to go for some odd reason. One, all of a sudden, his friend says, let's go to Thailand for the break, during the break. Go to Thailand. And we, in our small group, we just got together and said, Lord, we do not agree about Thailand. Cut it off. And praise the Lord. And next time when we met him, he said, oh, Thailand thing is over. Praise the Lord. We interfere. That doesn't sound too good, huh? We interfere with others' affairs for their benefits. So don't take it lying down. When the enemy give it to you, don't take it blind. Say, no, we do not agree. Right. Amen. B, I am racing for time. Our primary cooperation with our Father God is to maintain a consistent and persistent prayer life so that he can move and save the people around us. God desires that all men to be saved and to come to the full knowledge of the truth. God desires, right? But we must cooperate with God. Otherwise, God's desire cannot be fulfilled. Right? So we need to cooperate. How do we cooperate? We cooperate with him by our prayer. In this prayer, he talked about consistent and persistent prayer life. Let me just say this. If we are saints, not used to pray, it's very hard for you to come together to pray, two or three, to pray a commending prayer. Right? Is that right? We need to learn to have a consistent and persistent prayer life. And if we have that kind of prayer life, when we come together, it's very easy to exercise the authority the Lord committed to the body. Lord, we bind. Lord, we lose. Amen. Okay, I'm going fast, huh? Follow me, please. One. When we pray, we simply tell the Lord directly what we want. There's no need for us to pray long prayers in which we teach, we explain, we expound the scriptures to the Lord. Oftentimes we did that unknowingly, right? I like the section in Luke chapter 18. You know, this blind man, he cried out when the law was passed. Son of David, have mercy on me. Son of David, have mercy on me. So the Lord came by. The Lord said, what do you want? What do you want me to do for you? What did he say? Do you remember? What did he say? Right. Lord, that I may receive my sight. That's it. So simple. He didn't say, oh, you are the son of David, you and this and that. No, he didn't say that. He said, Lord, I may receive my sight. And what did the Lord reply? I'm the son of David. No, the Lord replied, okay, you receive your sight. And instantly he received his sight. So that's a lot of things we need to learn. Learn to tell the Lord, this is what we want.
Amen.
Amen. Then in 2, we do not need to pray too long. Instead, we should simply mention those for whom we are burdened in a definite way by name. Lord, how about Johnny? Lord, Johnny, he has gone on too long. He needs to turn. Lord, how about Jimmy? Right? That by prayer. Prayer by name. Let me tell you, when you are such a person and together in twos or threes, you know who's most afraid of you? Satan and demons are most afraid of you. You know, many saints oftentimes they say, "Oh, I'm a gospel preaching type. You know, I'm just afraid to preach the gospel. This is not my cup of tea. I like to study the truth." Actually, if you are born again, if you're a regenerated believer within all of us, there is a desire to speak the word, to preach the gospel. I don't have time, otherwise I'll tell you how shy I was when I was a young person. This time, on the way driving here, I met one of my college classmates, whom, by the Lord's mercy, I preached the gospel to her, and she got saved. And she said, you know, Simon, you used to be very shy. I said, was I really? Anyhow, we'll talk about it later. Within each and every one of us, brothers and sisters, believe me, there is a desire. There's a divine capacity in us that we want to preach the word. We want to preach. Amen. So we need to pray. Huh? Amen. Okay, see. We need a prayer of twos or threes, which is the binding and releasing prayer. And as I said, oftentimes, just pray by yourself is not enough. We need to pray by twos or threes in the principle of the body, standing on the ground of the body. And when you pray, that's effectual prayer. And things happen. Right? Okay, in twos or threes, we have to bind the binding one, Satan, and we have to release the sinning one, the one bound by Satan, through our prayer in harmony. Must be in one accord. Right? 2, we should not give up on anyone. We have to go to the Lord again and again with prayers, touching heaven by binding and releasing in harmony. Okay, I know I'm running out of time, but let me tell you one experience that we had. A number of years ago, when we began to labor on this campus called a junior college, called Orange Coast College, at that time, we almost had no students. The few students we had were basically, you know, out of town and living in different localities, commuting students. So basically, we had nothing. So we came back from Austin, 3 of us, myself, an old man with gray hair, and a sister from Puerto Rico. and a sister from Taiwan, Chinese sister, who speaks broken English. But we are all burdened for the gospel at the campus, where you know, right? Well, so we got together to pray. And one of our leading brothers says, Lord, all we have is a gray-haired brother and two young sisters who are immigrants. But we want to get American young people. Lord, make this happen. So we pray, we pray, we pray. And before school started, we would go to the campus a number of times to pray. And I still remember very well, one day when we were there, before the school started, there was nobody on the campus. So we go around the campus praying, and then in the middle of the campus, nobody. We look around, nobody was there. So we say, wow, let's take this opportunity. So we lifted up our voice, said, Lord, we claim OCC for you. Lord, may your gospel run on this campus. Lord, subdue the enemy. Clear up the air in this campus. Chase away all the demons. And you know what happened? I was so real, the air was clear. So when the school started, the first day, some of us, you know, not knowing what we're doing, we set up a table, and that's a spring semester. Usually fall, you have a lot of freshmen come, but the spring semester. The first day, 30 young people showed up. Say, I want to join you. And then at the end of the week, we got 100 members. And that's how we started. Not by our might. Not by might, nor by what? Power, but by my spirit. So the prayer is the way to go. And nowadays, praise the Lord, we have such a strong group of students. Burned. And not only that, this year, this fall, we had 11 incoming freshmen, church kids, huh? Six of them just went through the college training class. And I got reports. They were absolutely burning. The best way is to have a burning freshman. You know what they're going to do? They're going to copy what you're doing. They're going to have a freshman. Praise the Lord. It's all by prayer, not by mind, not by how we can do it. Amen. Oh.
Amen, Lord. You know, I just want to impress everybody with one thing. Prayer is not an option. Let's all say that together. Prayer is not an option. Again, prayer is not an option. You know, a lot of times we think, well, it's not all that important, or it takes too much time, or things will happen anyway. Nothing happens. Nothing happens without prayer. If we're not praying, the Lord cannot operate. He has, that's the way He's decided to work. That's just, you know, He's decided to work through the principle of incarnation. So if we don't pray, He doesn't work. Abraham had to pray, intercede for Lot. Look, you know, Daniel interceded many, many times. Daniel knew the prophecy concerning the children of Israel returning after 70 years. He still prayed for it. He prayed that the prophecy would be fulfilled. You know, prayer is not something we can say, well, God will do it anyway. He won't do it anyway. Prayer is not an option. Nothing happens unless we pray. The Lord really needs to impress us with that. This past year, we were very encouraged. The champagne, I forgot to introduce myself yesterday. name is Ken Meany from Champaign. But last year, the students started their own prayer time on campus in the middle of the day, one time a week. And it was so encouraging. The students, when they get together, they list names and they start praying. Then all of a sudden someone said, the names you were praying for started showing up at the meetings. Prayer works. And of course, the rest of the saints were praying for some of the same names too. But the students were praying and they were so encouraged to see one start to show up, come to meetings, and the Lord start to operate. So, and the prayer, it works. And in addition to the three things that Simon mentioned, prayer stops the natural man. And we get a burden from the Lord. I'm having a hard time reading my writing here. We get a burden from the Lord, and we enter into spiritual warfare, and ones get transferred. So besides those three things, there's some other things that prayer does. Prayer brings us into contact with God. Makes us one with God. So it stops our natural man and makes us one with God. Do you want to be one with God? We need to pray. Prayer blends us together. You know, you can't get blunt together just by getting together and talking about things. Prayer blends us together. Blending together comes through much and thorough prayer. Also, we learn how to shepherd ones. A lot of times we're praying, and all of a sudden we get clear. Oh, here's what this one needs. This one needs a certain type of, maybe a certain type of ministry book. Maybe this one needs to be baptized. Maybe they need to come to a meeting. Maybe they just need coffee. But we get clear as we pray how to shepherd. You take them out to, what I mean is, you take them out to a coffee. Take them out to a coffee shop. Sorry, I'm skipping too many thoughts in between here. You have to read in between the lines, saints. We need to take them out to Starbucks. Or we have them over to dinner. We're doing a lot of that. This one's over to dinner. Many ways we can shepherd, but as we pray, we realize what ones need. Hallelujah. Then in our prayer, it strengthens our coordination with one another. It blends us together. We coordinate together. We know how to shepherd ones. And then, obviously, God answers the prayer. This is what we really want. And we want the Lord to answer the prayer. So many things happen if we pray. But if we don't pray, these things don't happen. So the Lord has really constricted himself through prayer. And so on the campus, we need to realize we need to pray. We need to pray in twos and threes. Of course, there's many other types of prayer, categories of prayer in the church life. But today we're focusing on the twos and threes in the campus. So let's read Roman numeral 2 together. We need to persevere in prayer, praying that God would open to us a door for the Word to speak the mystery of Christ. So persevere means be very strong in our insistence. Nothing happens without prayer. So we need to be very strong in our insistence, letting nothing interrupt our prayer. You know, many things will try to interrupt our prayer. We need to be very strong in our insistence that we pray and insistence about what we're praying about, believing the Lord will answer. And as we pray, we saw many, just like Simon was mentioning, we saw many answers to prayer. And, you know, we saw ones get baptized. We saw ones begin to come to meetings. We saw ones come to home meetings. We saw ones that we couldn't get in touch with. All of a sudden, as we prayed, we considered how to shepherd them. We invited them to a home, and we started shepherding them, and all of a sudden now they're very regular. We saw ones through prayer. The Lord would bring ones into the church life. Ones would start coming to meetings. Ones would get baptized. Ones would get saved. You know, it's through the prayer. It's through prayer things happen. And so we need to be bold enough and have enough faith to list out the names and say, okay, here's what we're praying for specifically. We're praying for this person to come to dinner. We're praying for this person to be baptized. We're praying for an opportunity to have an appointment with this person on campus. Whatever the specific next need is, that's what we're praying for. Then is that what happens? Okay, then what's the next need? Maybe the person needs to come to a conference. Well, we just go right down the line until they're in the church life. Situation after situation, we just pray this person needs this, needs this, needs this. And we see the Lord answer the prayers. One sister, this is quite interesting, one sister among us was praying with some of the sisters one day and asked, "Are you all getting together some other time in prayer and fasting? Because I can't believe the way we're seeing answers to prayer. So I want to know if the rest of you are praying and fasting at some time that I don't know about." The answer was, "No, we're just all praying together." But this needs to be our experience on the campus. In the church life, we need to have an experience of seeing the Lord answer prayers. And to do this, we need to have the faith to pray. So just encourage one another. This year, get together as the students. Get together in twos and threes. Get together in formal nucleus and pray so you can have the experience of seeing prayers answered. So if you want to see one saved, pray. Pray and they get saved. And I wish I had time to share some gospel experiences, but we're kind of short on time here. But there's nothing sweeter. Just like your brother said, nothing sweeter than seeing one saved. The most recent experience was that in Brazil. I had a brother, and we were preaching the gospel, and he got saved, and he got baptized. And the change in him was so great. His mother called up the brothers, asking, "What happened? What is going on with my son?" The change was that dramatic. The night he got saved, he went home and reconciled with his father. Now that's the spirit of the law, the spirit of life working in this brother. No one told him. We didn't even know he had a problem with his father. But he went home and reconciled. Then he got baptized and his mother was shocked. And at first she was a little bit worried. What do you get involved with here? What can change him so quick? Christ. So as we pray and as we speak the word, ones get saved and ones get dramatically changed. Amen. Okay, let's read A together. We need to budget our time, setting aside two or three times a week for the prayer with two or three companions. Daniel prayed three times a day. And he had, of course, his four companions. And in Acts 2:42, they got together regularly in prayer. So we need to set aside the time. Budget the time. If we don't, video games will take it away. Video games will take it away. So budget the time. For this one particular prayer time, between 12:30 to 1 every Wednesday, the students were getting together for prayer. That's one of the budgeted times. But we need to budget time with our two and threes regularly. Let's read B together. We need to make a list of our acquaintances, including our relatives, neighbors, friends, schoolmates, and colleagues, and pray over that name list. We pray over the name list, the Lord will operate. We will know how to cooperate with the Lord. Sometimes we pray, the Lord says, "You need to cooperate. You need to do this or that." Sometimes the Lord just says, "Wait." But as we pray, the Lord listens. So again, we need to have these types of experiences. We need to see answered prayers on the campus. Okay, see. We should write down the names in a record book and continually bring them to the Lord through prayer. A record book will help us to know whether or not our prayers are answered and will help us to be specific and persistent in our prayers. Specific and persistent. And when you say, okay, here's what we're praying for, you're putting your faith on the line. And so then you really need to get together to pray, "Lord, make this happen." Of course, now we need to be clear what to pray for. Again, that's why we need to pray. We need to pray, "Lord, what do we pray for?" We get clear, we put it down, and then we pray for it. D. We must be watchful to fight for a time to pray and to be in guard against Satan's strategy to cut off our prayers. He will do everything he can to cut off our prayers. Once we'll knock on the door, the phone will ring, we'll get busy, we'll think about a million other things we have to do, we'll get worried about so many things, and prayer will go away. In Daniel, you know what they did to Daniel? They got together and said, "Let's get the king to make an edict." So Daniel will stop praying. Well, Daniel didn't stop praying. So he was that's when he was thrown into the lion's den. So you see how the enemy's strategy was to try to stop him from prayer, how strong that was, and Daniel didn't stop, and the Lord delivered him. And the Lord answered Daniel's prayers. So we need to fight for that time to pray. Okay, point one, among God's children, prayer is the one thing that is most easily attacked. And, you know, in Matthew 26:41, the Lord prayed. What did the disciples do? They slept. That's what it said. The Lord, you know, the spirit is willing, the flesh is weak. So we need to stand against our natural man and pray. If we place a high value on our prayer life, we will watch unto it and arrange time for it. No matter how busy we may be, we would still have time to pray. And again, that's the one thing I want to impress upon us, is that we need to pray. This is a critical experience we need to have as students. Among our golden years is prayers being answered. We have that list. This is what we're praying for, and we see it answered. So let's read the focus together. In order for us to bear fruit in the gospel, we need to persevere in prayer with our companions, binding Satan and interceding on others' behalf to release them. Again, the focus. In order for us to bear fruit in the gospel, we need to persevere in prayer with our companions, binding Satan and interceding on others' behalf to release them. We need to fight for this experience in our church life and in our campus life. That we would have prayer, we would pray, we would spend time with our companions to pray, and we would see the prayers answered. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen.